Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Uh-oh. Tiggy's worried we may have gotten double booked for our book appearance tonight, that there's something else going on at this theater tonight along with us. What's the other event that's going on?
It is the Spring Into Laughter. Spring Into Laughter.
Oh, that's what they're calling what we're doing.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm kidding. No, it's called Evan Roberts with Tiki Barber for New York Mets Bible. Mets Bible. 7:30 to 8:30 tonight at Court Square Theater. AstoriaBookshop.com for more info. You're saying that the theater has been double booked?
I'm just looking at the calendar of CourtSquareTheater.org, and it has Dawn and Chris Womack are a dynamic local comedy couple behind X2 Comedy, kicking off their series as husband and wife, set to mix it up with some fun.
What time is that?
7:30. It's exactly what we're supposed to be.
We got double booked. Tony's kid. Yeah, I know. I hear Womack, I think the same thing.
That'll be fun.
And the offensive lineman. Wasn't there an offensive lineman for the Cardinals, Womack? Chance Womack?
Chance.
Oh, good pull
that's
by me.
That's Womack, though, not Womack.
Oh, that's right. That's Womack. Good call. Anyhow, earlier in the show, we played you a clip of Tom Brady, if you missed it. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we could play it right now, or you could rewind on the Odyssey app right at 4 o'clock, and we broke down the possibility of Tom Brady coming back, because in this audio clip, Tom Brady was open with the idea of potentially coming back. You want to hear it?
So one day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs, offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're going to let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I don't know. I'm always going to be in good shape. I'll always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
So I got to, he asked that question very ambiguously. So he said, would you pick up that phone? Now, does that mean Tom is calling? Or is he asking if they're calling you?
I think I took it as if they're calling you.
Right, but the second time I listened to it, it sounded like he's asking Tom, are you going to reach out? Like Philip Rivers reached out.
That's right.
So it's Tom picking up the phone.
Yeah.
It's nuanced, but it's just, heard that differently the second time.
I understand. Either way, I take it as it's a possibility. But what I asked on the air was, what about his contract with Fox? Like, he's about to start a big-time broadcasting deal. And so I said on the air, Andrew Marchand, who's like one of the great media reporters, should find out. Well, what have I told you? I just spoke to Andrew.
Nice, and he found out.
And he supplied the information. I made sure, is it okay? Can I give this information? I want to credit you. I didn't come up with it myself. He said, absolutely. So credit to Andrew Marchand. If Tom Brady wants to play football, all he's got to do is say, I'm playing football.
Wow, really?
And that contract with Fox would allow him.
Just gets kicked down the line for another year?
That is correct.
Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
Good to be Tom Brady. He's out.
It's good to be Tom Brady.
Now, let me ask you this question. Okay, because you have the same job as Tom Brady, right?
Not quite the height of Tom Brady, but yes.
Not as many zeros.
Or the paycheck.
I understand that. But look, do you have anything in your contract that would say, oh, the Giants called me up and want me to run the football 30 times in a game?
No.
You do not.
I do not
you
at all.
You do not.
But the contracts are individual. It's not like a boilerplate contract that every analyst that calls an NFL game does.
I agree, but my question to you would be, why would Tom have that in his contract?
Just in case he wanted to leave and come back and play football.
Bingo.
Bingo.
It's a possibility.
But does that really make sense? He's 48 years old.
First of all, I'm not talking about if it makes sense like for the team or if it makes sense for Tom. I'm simply analyzing that this guy is not completely done with football.
No, clearly
like, you
he's
want my
not.
Football opinion on it? I think he's cooked. My football opinion is he stinks. My football opinion is that would be a mistake. My football opinion is I wouldn't want him on the Jets. I didn't even want him last year when Aaron Rodgers went down. So, yeah, that's my opinion. But when I hear those kinds of comments and then get the information that, hey, his contract's good, man. He wants to play football. He just tells Fox, I'm good to go. I mean, that tells me something. It tells me that he's still open to it, yeah. And it tells me that it's a possibility that's a lot higher than the 2% you described.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's the 2% that we're talking about? That he wants to or 2% that he does? Because if he wants to, I'm sure that's what Loogie said. It's 50-50.
Right.
But if it actually happens, I think it's more along Sean and my prediction.
No, I
which
think
is less than 5%.
I think it's probably a circumstance thing. Like, I don't think Tom Brady right now wants to just say, I'm going to go to training camp, I'm going to go to mini camps, yeah. I'm going to play football.
Well, and if you're a team, why would you want that?
If you think you're a player away from winning a championship, that's why you'd want that.
Yeah, but
if you think Tom Brady puts you over the top, that's why you'd want that.
I mean, to me, Tom Brady is the scenario that was asked. If there is an injury in the middle of the season.
I agree with you. That's my point,
that's
though.
That's the only way I could see it.
Yeah, because I don't think Tom wants to do the grind. But maybe in his mind, if the Kansas City Chiefs, I'll give you that perfect example. Mm-hmm. Pat Mahomes gets hurt, and they're already 14-1. And all of a sudden, Andy Reid's like, man, I got to do it. Who's their backup now? They signed somebody.
Oh, damn it. Hold on.
They signed somebody this offseason to be their backup.
Yeah, Carson Wentz.
Wentz, that's right.
Carson
it's
Wentz.
Surprised us when
boom!
It happened.
Okay.
A good call.
Carson Wentz. And Andy Reid's like, I don't want Carson Wentz to start, but Pat's out for the season. And he calls up Tom and says, Tommy, crazy idea. We're already 14-1. It's all set up.
Mm-hmm.
You want to come back? Yeah, I think he'd consider it.
You already know.
And I think that answer tells you that. And the fact it's in his contract tells you that.
Yeah, we'd be so skeptical.
Skeptical of what?
Of his success, whether or not he'd be successful.
Oh, he'd fail.
No,
he'd fall flat on his
know.
Face and
I
be beautiful.
I think in a one-game like shot, he might be okay.
Yeah.
I'm being serious because there's no attrition. There's no beat up. He hasn't thrown in a while. I think he'd actually be fine.
I must tell you, the scenario.
In a one-game scenario. I think that's different.
And the scenario I created is the greatest like debate scenario of all time. Just hear me out on this. Pat Mahomes, who's trying to track down Tommy as the greatest of all time, leads the Chiefs to the playoffs.
And wins another Super Bowl and puts himself further away.
Gets hurt.
Oh, God.
And then Tom runs to the rescue.
Yeah, that's what
I mean. To his total. And then we're debating because, like, in my opinion, Phil Sims won 2 Super Bowls, in my opinion. Because even though he didn't play in the Giants' second Super Bowl, Phil played during the regular season.
Yeah.
Phil had a big part of their success.
It's like Carson Wentz.
Very similar to Carson Wentz, yes. Except, obviously, Phil Sims is better than Carson Wentz. But, yes, it's the
same
idea.
He deserves it as much as Nick Foles does.
Even though
Nick Foles won the actual game that mattered.
I agree with you. And that's why, like, I don't know how you feel this way as a Giant fan, Sean, and you as a Giant legend, Tiki. But when I think of Phil Sims, I'm like, yeah, no, he won 2 Super Bowls, man.
Definitely.
Okay.
He navigated the team most of the year until he went down.
So if Brady comes in and wins the last 4 games, and now we're debating, well, but does Pat have the ring? Does Tom have the ring?
You already know.
Every fan base is different, though, because no Eagle fan thinks Carson Wentz won them that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, what would a Chief fan think if Tom Brady came in for the final 4 weeks after a fluky Mahomes injury and put the icing on the cake on another championship?
You already know.
They've won so much, and something tells me they'd win another, it would still be viewed as a Mahomes Super
Bowl. Yeah, I think so. It'd be a great debate, though. I'll tell you. TV talking heads would have a field day with that.
I think it would depend on if Tom won the MVP, the Super Bowl MVP.
Could the fat get fatter, by the way? The fact that we're even having this conversation.
I don't know how this scenario just popped into my head. Oh, it's because Tom Brady's an attention whore who needs to continue to talk about potentially coming
but
back.
But he's not starting until next year?
He's starting this year.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois. After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He's starting this year.
Yeah, I think he's starting on Fox this year, yeah.
So this year. So, wow, this is really, this is like.
By the way, is it a three-man booth, or did Olsen get the boot down the ladder?
I thought he got the boot, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did.
That's a shame. That's terrible.
Well, I will tell you, I think, fair or not, and you're, I don't want to say you're in a tough spot, because you can do whatever the hell you want. I think that Tom Brady's broadcasting will be one of the biggest stories in the NFL all year, and we'll all be critiquing everything he says.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's a really good chance Loogie's getting 57 text messages on Sunday nights of all these different clips of something Tom said that we'll analyze.
I know everybody thinks he's going to be bad, but I think he actually might be good at it.
Well, I didn't say, I think it's going to be both. I think that we're going to be analyzing the good and the bad.
Because he spent a year, basically, this past season, like, learning it.
Yeah.
Right? He's not just being thrown in. Like, Tony also did a, Tony Romo with CBS, did a lot of prep before he did his first game.
Right.
And that's why he stepped in, right, with Jim Nance, and it was amazing. Right. So I think the unfortunate thing for Tom is that he's going to be compared to the guys that are great at it.
Yeah, he's going to be compared to the top guys, especially because he's making that kind of money.
Exactly.
Just the way it is,
And I don't care what you're doing, especially in media, it's a learning curve. It's hard to do it. It's not easy.
Drew Brees failed already.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but Drew, wasn't he studio?
No, but he did the Notre Dame game.
And it was bad.
Oh, that's right. He did do the Notre Dame.
We have a brand new segment starting in September. I don't know if you guys know about it. It's got a sponsor and everything. Mm-hmm. Not Monday, because we're going to talk a lot of football on Monday, but on Tuesday, we're going to debate with clips and analyze who had a better Sunday broadcasting, Tiki Barber or Tom Brady.
Pat Static.
And at the end of the year, we're going to decide who the winner is. And if Tiki wins, we're all going to be pissed off that Tom's making like 80 times the amount of money Tiki's making.
Nice. Love it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a fun segment. You like
TB
that one?
TB squared.
Is there, you want to call it that? Oh, that's great. Tom Brady, Tiki Barber.
I'm an ideas guy.
All right.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
My wife, she's upset because sometimes she thinks she's with the wrong TB, with the number backwards.
The number backwards, too. Dude, I didn't even think of any of that stuff.
Because she loves Tom Brady. She met him. She loves him. He was great.
Your wife has a character flaw, and that's loving Tom Brady.
He was phenomenal.
That's the one. Other than that, I'm sure she's perfect, but that's the character flaw.
She is aware that he's available, Tiki.
Huh? What are you doing?
Yeah, I know. At the time that they met, I was like, all right, you can't talk. I'll go with Giselle. Okay.
Let's go to Kendrick and Suffern. How you doing, Kendrick?
Evan, the guy who interviewed Tom Brady, Vic Blend, I had mentioned to you guys a few weeks back, maybe months ago now, with your haircut situation going on, that you should have called him up. But it got me thinking. You've been pretty kind to the island of Staten. Yeah. I don't know what you guys are doing for Memorial Day this year. Maybe you're going down to the Jersey Shore again. I don't know what your plans are, but I think maybe you should call Vic Blends, and if the guys would agree to this, to get a haircut, maybe you go with the blowout.
Yeah,
like Pete Alonso. Have you seen Pete Alonso's haircut?
Yeah, recently? Pete's haircut
is... I don't know what he's doing.
I don't know what the hell he's doing either, but the problem is, like, I can't do any of that. Like, I'm loyal to what I said and what I'm doing for Pete Alonso. Pete has made it clear to me that I have to keep the beard and keep the hair until he signs. And so I've got to live with it. So it's a great idea, but not for Memorial Day. Maybe for, like, next Memorial Day, unfortunately.
Happening. And we are going down to the shore again for Memorial Day.
Is that official, by the way?
I think so.
Oh, it was in our station report 2 weeks ago.
That was
announced.
All right, so then we're going down to the Jersey
Shore. Kick off to summer.
Yeah.
And so can I just bring up a baseball point? I know you just had Doc on and everything like that. First of all, I've been listening all week. I want to give Tommy some love with the dude's dogs. He took a beating this week with that. And one more thing the Yankees are doing under the radar, I don't know if Tommy's noticed this, but their bridge guy to the closer is actually Tommy, too, Canley. He's off. So they're taking Tommy's name, too, and making their own bridge guy something. Now, in terms of the leadoff spot with Volpe with the Yankees, and even with the Mets, they've been moving their lineup. Thankfully, Nimmo's kind of solidified that one spot there. I wanted to ask, nowadays in sports, whether it's basketball, you guys talked about Josh Hart rebounding. You know, you have Jokic and Sabonis getting assists. In football, the running backs go out to catch passes. Mm-hmm. In baseball, why do we have to have a lineup every night that's the same 162 games a year, in the sense of, you know, you were saying Volpe's going to be the guy for the next 10 years. How come, you know, managers don't wait longer to release the lineups? Pitchers don't have time to prepare and talk to the catcher and things like that. Like, I'm not a huge baseball guy, but I would just think, like, you know, Mendy, when he said our bullpen wasn't available, got killed for it because why would you give the opponent any more time to plan or know what's going to come their way? Why isn't it the same for the lineup?
I think a lot of that, you know, the answer I'm going to give you is probably very different than the one that originated 5 years ago. But I think a lot of it now is probably gambling and fantasy, that they want that kind of information out there. But I understand your point. You know,
And that makes sense, honestly.
Yeah, it does.
Because you just don't know, like, who's playing. You can't best.
I'll give you a historical story from over 100 years ago. I apologize. It literally is 100 years ago. But I love the old New York Giants, not the football team, the baseball team. And John McGraw would sometimes have two starting pitchers warming up for a game so that the opponent didn't know who they were facing.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's badass. And I've always wondered, like, why do we announce things so far in advance? But then the other side of me as a fan says, I like knowing. Like, I like knowing that when the Mets play in an hour and a half, here's their starting lineup. So I think a lot of it nowadays probably relates to fantasy and gambling on why we have that information. But as a fan, I like to know that information. Like, I like to see that I'm looking at the Royals lineup now. I'm looking at the Mets lineup now. I like having that. By the way, I got no issues with the Mets lineup. Mendoza's riding back with Marte 2, Lindor 3, Pete Alonso 4, Jeff McNeil's batting 7th, DJ's DHing, Alvarez in the lineup. So it's an all fine Met lineup as they take on Michael Wacha. Once a Met, always a Met. What?
I just want to remind everybody going to Evan's book event, every time there's a run scored or an out made, please tell Evan.
why would you say that? I want to DVR the game, man. Why you got to do that?
Because I think it's in the best interest of the audience. Just let Evan know everything. This way, you know everything. You can go to bed tonight.
No, yep. I don't want to do that, though.
By the way, every time a quarter ends, knick-knack game, also, anybody who has tickets tonight, please let Evan know exactly what's happening.
Why are you doing that?
For your own best interest, though.
How is it for my own best interest?
I'm having an intervention with you. You don't need to be watching a game at 1 a.m.
It lets you go to bed earlier today.
I want to watch the game.
But don't you want to just go snuggle up with your wifey?
I am. You don't know how Friday nights work in the Roberts household. I get home. I get my kids to sleep. I snuggle with my wife.
Not tonight, though.
What do you mean not tonight?
You're not getting home when your kids are awake.
No, my kids will probably be... Well, you never know. The oldest one, Jet, may be up. Mm. That's on the table. It's a Friday night, Tiggy.
That's true.
Things get crazy. Got a big Friday night smackdown tonight.
Yeah, I know. My 10-year-old is... She's like, I'm 10 now. I can stay up till 10.
Is that her rationale?
That's her rationale.
Wow. Does she stay up till 10?
Yes.
Jeez. Friday nights are torture because Jet, who is not 10, he's 7, stays up until like 1 a.m. He's on a mission on Friday nights. But sometimes I get him to fall asleep. And when everybody falls asleep, whatever time that is, I sit down, I get my scorebook out. In this tonight's case, I get the knick-knack game on. I got the two TVs rolling. I'm double-fisting. Little Mets action. Little Knicks-Nets action.
No, not a beer and a whiskey?
No. My beer is the Mets. My whiskey is the Nets getting their ass kicked. Yeah, so why are you trying to ruin that for me, Sean?
Listen, I'm just... Everybody tell him the score. All right, that's it. Evan's had his intervention.
Because I'm tired?
Yes.
Well, I've done a lot the last few days.
Exactly.
It's okay to be tired.
And Tiki, me, and Tommy are looking in your eyes and know you need Met and Net update just so you get some peaceful sleep tonight.
You've completely screwed up my night because now it's going
to
happen.
Right. It's just called an intervention, Evan, and you've had one. Mm-hmm. Go to bed tonight.
Oh, good. Let's go to Rob in Ridgefield. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good. Appreciate it. What's up, man?
So, yes, I just talking about the work week. Yeah.
4-day work week.
Oh, I agree. But unfortunately, like, you know, there's other people, you know, involved, like with the parents and stuff. They would have to get the same schedule, I guess. You know. So anyway, so I just got that away. Your beard.
Yes.
Do you not want to have any more children anymore?
Well, that's a very loaded question.
It is.
What are you implying? Are you saying my wife won't touch me? Is that what you're implying?
Nobody.
I'm coming for that ass.
You say nobody would touch me? Is that what you just said?
Nobody. By the way, he cleaned it up, Rob. The beard is now cleaned up.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you brought that up because earlier today I did something. I did something I have not done since like early November. I went into a barbershop. And I read them the riot act. And first of all, as soon as I walked in, they knew who I was. So I was like, oh, crap. And the guy's like, well, cutting the beard. I said, nah, I'm not cutting the beard. I said, here's the situation. I want to lay it out to you. I have this beard. I have this hair. I cannot cut it. I made a promise to Pete Alonso. By the way, Mr. Ledecky, mm-hmm. He was trying to get me to cut that beard last night.
He hates it?
I certainly got the impression he didn't like it.
He didn't like it because he didn't like how it looks, or he's a Yankee fan.
No, he's a Mecca. How would you interpret Mr. Ledecky's? Oh yeah, hangs out with Steve Cohen. Yeah.
Here's how I interpreted it. I think Mr. Ledecky finally saw Evan in the flesh in his box with a lot of people who were like, you know, normal looking, and I just don't think he appreciated the facial hair in the box. I think he had a bit of a Yankee feel to him.
You think that was? I don't think that was it. I think he was just genuinely saying, because I had met him a couple times, and the first thing he says, I don't recognize you. And then he's like, how old are you? I think you're like 50. I said, no, I'm 40.
He was thrown off.
I threw him off.
Yeah, it just, and again, today you look very clean. You were a little disheveled looking.
Because I hadn't touched my beard or hair in 6 months. So I go into this barbershop, and I say to the barber, look, here's the deal. I cannot cut this by orders of Pete Alonso, but my wife has made a demand. We are celebrating her birthday over the weekend. We're doing some very special stuff. Right? And not that, I mean, maybe, yeah. But not that.
I mean, it is a birthday.
It's her birthday. Whatever she wants, we're going out. We're going to have a great time. All right? Get your mind out of the gutter.
Get a little boozy and come home and have some fun.
Okay. Dribble, 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 dribble. Right. So I said to the barber, look, my wife wants me to clean this thing up, but don't make it too noticeable. Just make it cleaner. That's all you got to do. And he sat there. And he was meticulous. Meticulously took a hair out, cut a hair here, trimmed a hair there. And I got to tell you, I feel clean.
It looks good.
But I still feel like I'm fulfilling my obligation.
Yes. I think you did nothing wrong.
Thank you.
I think you had an obligation so that we didn't have to look at a disheveled mess every day. I think it looks fantastic.
Thank you.
I like it even more.
I would argue there's a chance he went to the greatest barber shop in the area the way they cleaned that up.
You think it was that good?
Dude, the idea that they kept the length and girth to it while making it not look like a hot mess, I have no skin in the game. Unbelievable job.
Right, it looked like there were birds living in it.
Literally.
Now it looks like kind of dope.
And the man threw up in a UBS suite last night. They had to cut the puke out of it, too.
God, that's a good point. It was very disgusting. Yeah, they did a great job. And now I feel like, okay, I'm fulfilling my obligations as a loyal Met fan, as a loyal Pete Alonso guy, and I'm also presentable to my wife. And to that last caller, I sent a picture of my face to my wife after I got the trim done, and she was very happy.
I'm coming for that ass.
What's this? Come on now. Very, very uncouth of you, Loogie. I think my wife said she wants to eat my head.
I actually remember the context.
Can you please provide?
Do you want to spoil it? So when you were working with Craig, I think somebody brought in either a cake or a cookie of both of you.
Oh, yes.
And Evan
I remember
goes,
those cookies being around here all the time.
My wife refused to eat them.
Or a donut or something.
Yeah,
I think it was donuts.
Yeah, so
and I wouldn't eat the ones that had your faces on them.
Why?
Because
you didn't want to eat my head.
To eat a donut with your face on it.
I gotcha. So I think my wife said she wants to eat my head. I do remember that now. Jeez. All right, let's go to, let's go to Gene in Smithtown. How you doing, Gene?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man. What's up?
Not too much. Just wanted to, circle back. I know there's a lot of discussion on Lindor and diehard Met fans from 73.
Nice.
I wasn't a huge fan of the $341 million when they signed because they had him for a year. They could have seen how he adjusted. So I think they overspent. But,
right.
You can't argue with the numbers. Definitely last year, slow start. But I have a debate with buddies of mine, Mets fans, and I say, no matter what, with the numbers, Lindor as a Met has not been a clutch player in my mind. Would you agree or disagree with
that? I would. It's a nuanced question because I don't want to give like numbers because I don't think the numbers tell the story. Yeah. I've got to tell you my gut as a Met fan who watches him.
But also you got to think of the moments.
Right. Yeah, and I got to think of the moments. And quite frankly, they had one good season so far, 2022, and it obviously ended terribly when no one was clutch. I would say he's been a marginally clutch player as a Met. I don't think he has choked in big spots, nor do I think he has elevated to some kind of extreme level. I think he has been a marginally clutch Met in his time here.
Okay. I'll, I think he's done, he hits those big home runs, but they're already winning, 4-1.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And I think sometimes we say that and we do that and we notice that when we already have an opinion about a player. So this was said a lot about Alex Rodriguez, and sometimes it was true where, he piles on when the games don't matter. That's not true with Francisco Lindor. I have not gotten the impression that his numbers are empty. And I think my description of Lindor's tenure here, if you ask me, because he was more specific about the clutch factor, I think my opinion on his tenure here is very similar to the answer I just gave on his clutchness here. It's been okay.
Yeah.
He's been good.
Yeah.
He hasn't been a bust. He hasn't been a disaster. He hasn't made the Mets, incredibly better. He's been marginally good.
The only challenge is that people will always question the number.
The salary?
The salary, how much he's making.
They shouldn't do that.
And of course they shouldn't, because I've always contended that the reason that he got paid that much is because Steve Cohen had to show that the Mets were going to spend money.
That's a part of it, yes.
And he was the first one.
That's a part of it.
To me, I don't want to say absolves, because it doesn't really, but still, it makes it okay.
Well, there's two things on this. Number one, if you compare him to all other shortstops, he may be the best shortstop in baseball.
Yes.
Corey Seager had a better year last year. He also missed a lot of time, quite frankly. Trey Turner did not have the greatest first year in Philadelphia. And so he makes what a top shortstop makes because he's a top shortstop.
And he's a great defender.
That's number one. Number two, and this is the part I really want Met fans to understand, Fred Wilpon doesn't own the team anymore. And what I mean by that is, if this was 7 years ago and the Mets had invested this kind of money in Francisco Lindor, maybe I'd be on the side of some of you that say, he makes too much money, he can't live up to it. And you want to know why? Because when Fred owned the team and you handed a contract out like that, that was it.
That was it.
You were hamstrung. I don't feel that way with Steve Cohen. So if Steve Cohen isn't letting the Francisco Lindor contract stop him from buying other players, then I will ask this as politely as I can. Why do you give a rat's ass how much the billionaire is paying him? It's a different world, guys. We got to get out of the Wilpon world.
Yeah.
I don't care that he's overpaid. He's a very good baseball player. Is he the best player in baseball? No, I don't think he ever was. But he's a very good baseball player. And so between what you said, which I think is a very fair point, that sometimes that big first move you make has to be an overpay.
Yep.
And then between the fact that overpaying doesn't matter when you have a billionaire owner, I have not gotten worked up about the amount of money he's making, saying, he's just not worth it. Doesn't matter. Shouldn't matter to us anymore.
It doesn't, because the money is not a prohibitive, piece of this formula any longer.
But I will tell you this, and I briefly mentioned this the other day when the Mets beat the Atlanta Braves and just pounded that Georgian ass 16-4. I love, and Yankee fans, I think you could relate to this a little bit, I love when my team wins and succeeds and our best players are underperforming. I love that. Because I know my best players are good. I know Francisco Lindor will hit, Tiki.
Eventually.
I know Aaron Judge will hit eventually. They will.
Of course.
They're very good players. It's a week. It's 2 weeks. So if you can win while they're struggling, to me, that's like a great sign. It reminds me, I'll give you an NBA analogy for anyone who's pumped up for tonight's Knicks-Nets game. It's like if the Nets were down by two, the Knicks were shooting 65% and the Nets were shooting 38%. And somehow, despite that huge shooting discrepancy, the Nets were in the game. I would text my boy Mike Bisseglia and be like, I feel great about this. And by the way, vice versa. We're up by two and we're out shooting them by 30%. I'd say because the numbers even itself out most of the time. So Lindor will even itself out. He didn't just lose his skill all of a sudden. This isn't Space Jam where the Monstars took his talent. And the same thing with Aaron Judge. So I don't want to say turned on. That's like the wrong phrase. I enjoy as a baseball fan, Tiki, when my team wins despite my best players not performing well.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like where the Knicks are right now. They're one of their best players is out, and these other guys are playing great, and it hasn't affected them.
Yeah, but you know what the difference is?
What?
That best player's not coming back.
True.
I know Lindor's going to hit. And I'm certainly not on April 12th, like, worried about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's too early in the season. Now, I feel like we've said this every single year that Lindor has been here.
He gets off to a lot of slow starts.
Of course he does. And he's streaky. Even when he starts to turn it around, he'll be streaky.
Yeah.
But that's just who he is.
Yeah. He'll be fine.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. I hate that phrase. And I just used it. He'll be fine. He'll be fine. We'll be fine.
If I told you.
If I told you the record would be blah, 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 blah when this happened, you'd be thrilled. Yeah. What a weekend we have, by the way. We got Rangers Islanders. By the way, do you know, Tiki, the Rangers are collapsing? You aware of this?
They are not collapsing.
It kind of seems like it.
I mean, they had a 4-1 last night?
Hold on. Yeah. Let me lay this out. The head coach had a meltdown 2 days ago about a hit that wasn't dirty. That's number one. It wasn't. They lost to their rivals, and their fans became unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
Then they played another team that they despised, the Philadelphia Flyers.
Because they were looking past them to get back at the Islanders.
I guess so. A Flyer team that basically has quit and given up, and the Rangers get dominated last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are collapsing. Are you worried, Sean?
Not at all. In fact, very insidey. They're going to have one of their best players back on the ice for the playoffs. Filipino skated today after we were told he was out for the year. And now we get the Islanders, who are ripe for a loss. The Rangers are ripe for a win.
Noah Dobson banged up. You saw that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Rangers... get right spot tomorrow.
If the Islanders beat the Rangers at Madison Square Garden tomorrow, will you be nervous? What? That's a fair question. What?
Here's a radio tease for you, Evan. Find out Monday.
Bitch, New York Ranger fan. I just want to know because you want to go into the
play. He's not going to be nervous.
He's not. He's going to rationalize it, right?
Yes.
He's a rationalizing fan, isn't he?
Well, they have 110 points. Of course he's
not. Impossible for me to make that statement. I got to see how the game shakes out. Mm-hmm.
Thomas Lugauer has some talents in this world. One of his best talents is being able to read Sean Morash and know Sean Morash. So, Lugie, as a guy that's known Sean for a long time, and I want you to do your best Sean imitation.
Okay.
I want you to imagine Islanders 4, Rangers 1. Islanders 4, Rangers 1. Islanders 4, Rangers 1. Islanders 4, Rangers 1. Monday. Hey, Sean! You worried about the Rangers?
You know what? I'm not worried at all. Here's why. O.J. Simpson died last week. It's 1994. Everything's coming together. And you think I care about a team that can't kill the penalty? The Rangers are going to wipe the floor with them. In fact, they'll go up 3-0, and the Islanders will call up the Rangers and go, we quit, we give up, we surrender. We're going to win.
That was pretty good, wasn't it? I told you, it's one of his best skills.
Solid content.
Boo, 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 Islander fans, wherever you got nothing. These poor Ranger fans on Long Island, even though I can't back that up.
It's just a tad bit squeaky, but other than that.
It's an over-exaggeration, because my voice sounds just like Sean's, to be honest.
That was really well done, I got to tell you.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.